So if you basically had to have a book and put stickers on what I do, then those are the stickers. I'm Vishal. I actually a lead PM on Visual Studio, on ASP.NET, on WebMatrix, recently Node.js, and Windows Azure as well. And I love to travel and code and take pictures of people coding and stuff like that. So if you want your pictures to be taken, then I can probably show up sometimes. So that's me. I'm actually very, very open to receiving emails or phone calls or whatever you want in case you need any kind of help. Please do not hesitate to contact me. I'll be very happy to talk about stuff. So before we actually get started, what we are here to talk about is we are not going to go too deep into different Azure technologies. There will be a session for that. We are going to talk about an array of deployment options which you can actually use and to which direction you go based on what different Azure options you choose, right? So with that, let me show you these three little quick things. How many of you are aware of these three different options? Okay, 50-60%. You guys are also, so I'll basically let you read this really quickly, but the idea is that Azure websites are more used for developing just web front ends plus like a bunch of services running behind. It has integration with CI, TFS, Git, OSS app galleries, and stuff like that. Virtual machines, on the other hand, I think that someone over here, that would be very applicable to your environment where you would want to move your entire enterprise stuff onto that. Virtual machines would be a good option. And cloud services, which is what exists today. So how many people use Azure today? Okay, three, four of you guys. And you guys are using cloud services, I assume, right? Web role, worker role, and stuff like that? Yes. So you would use them still if you were to require remote desktop access or admin access or network isolation or any of those kind of scenarios. And what we will do today from an agenda set standpoint to just set your expectations is that, first of all, we'll let the coding awesomely part to you. You guys take care of that. But then beyond that, we'll basically look at these three different options, whether you are developing using WebMatrix, and you want to deploy, you have options to deploy using FTP web deploy to either the cloud service, website, or virtual machine, right? Or if you are actually using Visual Studio, you can deploy using FTP or web deploy or TFS integration directly into Azure websites or VMs or cloud services, right? And then finally, if you are using Git, which could be from Mac or Linux, then you can basically just push whatever you want. In that situation, ASP.NET or whichever one you choose. How many of you actually use TFS today? Okay, how many of you use Git today? Oh, so that is awesome. How many of you would like to see how Git development is done, or like at least some samples around it, right? Okay, so what we will do is that we will walk through all of those. Yes, Philip. Yes, PowerShell is also available as one of the options. I'm just talking from an agenda standpoint that we will probably not be covering it, but yes, PowerShell is something which you can also use to deploy that. And we will be seeing some command line interfaces which are exposed both via both on Bash script as well as in PowerShell. So those same APIs are available no matter which direction you go. Largely thinking, you should think about that there is an API in Azure, a REST-based API in Azure, and then on the client side, we are creating wrappers on top of it. So there is .NET wrappers on it, there is a Node.js wrapper on it, which runs on Mac, and then there is PowerShell wrappers on it. So the things which I'm going to show you over here most definitely will apply to PowerShell as well. So, yep. So with that, what we will do is that we will start actually straight away go into demos and keep it interesting as much as possible. The first demo is that we are going to deploy using web deploy or FTP into Windows Azure websites, right? How many of you actually are aware about WebMatrix? Okay, heard of it? Many people have not heard of it, so let me actually like show you that. Okay, so that is WebMatrix. Just so that you know, I have here is my machine configuration right now, so that you know that we are starting off at the same level. I have got WebMatrix installed on my machine, which is available from webmatrix.com. So if you go over here on Chrome, just give me a second. If you go over here on microsoftwebmatrix.com, it redirects over here, and you can basically get, we released WebMatrix at the same time as Windows Azure on 6.7, just 2 or 3 days back. And it has support for Node.js, PHP, and .NET. It's a small web development tool, but it's powerful enough because it uses Visual Studio editors built in. But installs under 2 minutes is like, the MSI itself is like around 10 megs, so it's super lightweight. And so the first, what we will do in the deployment options is that we will graduate from starting from simple deployments and then like start going into more advanced deployments as we go, right? So this is the very beginning of the deployment stuff. I'm going to sign in to my Windows Azure portal. Everyone has seen it, right? The new portal, okay. So here's WebMatrix in front of me, and what I'm going to do next for WebMatrix is, you have an option to either open a folder as a site in WebMatrix, you have an option to open from templates, or from gallery, and the gallery contains all the OSS apps like, you know, Orchard or .NET Nuke or stuff like that. Even PHP apps are inside the gallery. So if you wanted to start from something which is pre-baked, then that would be your option. What we will do over here is to actually start from templates. And there are different templates available, ASP.NET, PHP, Node, and HTML. These are right now loading. Their pictures are loading right now. But what we will do is that right now start with ASP.NET starter template. Right? The first thing that I'll do is that I'll go ahead and name this as, say, Azure Pacman. Because let's go ahead and create a Pacman site, which will probably be a little bit fun to do. Right? So hit next. And right now what it will do is that it's installing the template, it's installing NuGet packages. How many of you have heard and used NuGet packages? Hopefully, no? Okay, so NuGet, just for everyone who does not know about NuGet, NuGet is our package management system, which allows you to add extra functionality into your projects from existing sources. Like for instance, jQuery is available as a NuGet package, or Modernizer is available as a NuGet package. And right now, this particular thing has also got a bunch of NuGet packages, which is OAuth and various different other options. So this is WebMatrix interface. For those of you who have not seen it, and if you look at files, there are a bunch of files over here. There is a database in this particular site, so you can see the database. And you can actually run reports. Like if you want to do search engine optimization and stuff, that is something which you can do from WebMatrix. So here I have a site, I'm going to run it. Right? And right now ASP.NET is compiling for the first time, but you can see the standard template which comes with WebMatrix, right? How many of you have actually seen this template? Okay, a few of you, because this is the same template that we share between Visual Studio and WebMatrix. They're very similar. A bunch of things going on in this site, but what we are going to do is to try to convert it into a Pacman site. So I actually have a folder where there is a bunch of files which are related to Pacman. And what I'll try to do is to pull those files. So I'm going to take this audio. Again, there are a bunch of open source HTML5 samples available. This is one of the Pacman samples which we tried to assemble. So I take audio and put it in the audio location. I'm going to take this and move it to content. So drag and drop from Windows Explorer would work just fine. Take CSS and drag it into content as well. And then take the JS and drag it inside scripts, right? So I moved all of these guys, and I'll make this zip available for you guys so that you can try this very similarly. The goal is that you should be able to go ahead and do this exact same demos very easily to your friends and to your team, right? So now I can take this index.html, pull it down over here. It actually will open the file. So it has not really moved the file, it has just opened the file. Right? And what we will do next is go back and then go ahead and open default.cshtml. There. And this is the standard page which actually showed up for the first time. I do not need all of this content because we're going to convert that into a game. So I'm going to delete that one. And from index.html, let's copy this Pacman CSS, move it over here. And now in ASP.NET web pages, how many of you know CSHTML files or Razor syntax? Okay, five. Okay, some of you do not know. So Razor syntax was something which we introduced last year sometime. And what Razor syntax allows you to do is to actually write, put server-side code and HTML just working very seamlessly together. Like, for instance, you can notice that over here, this is server-side code, right? And then this at the rate bracket starts the server-side code. It moves back into HTML. I can write server-side code again, right? It means it transitions very easily. Very similar to how you would basically see other scripting languages like PHP or something like that, right? Not really model view controller kind of structure, but more of just simple drag and drop and a single page architecture. So in that, we now have support for tilde slash. And tilde slash essentially allows you to look from the root of your site. And since we put this in content, I'm going to say slash content, right? Go back to index. And this time what we'll do is try to get everything over here and come back and paste it right over here. It's just a script file, does some modernizer canvas stuff. And again, pacman.js is in scripts. So let us just do that, tilde scripts and slash, right? So then we have this thing set up, save and just run. And hopefully that should probably do. Yeah, and this probably has Pac-Man stuff up and running, right, within no time. And actually, if we had music, then you would have probably heard the sound as well. But I do not know. What happened to the sound? He's not even listening. That's okay. There was supposed to be sound over here. Okay. But anyway, so we have small little Pac-Man site up and running. Next, what I'll do is that I'll go back to the Azure site, and we'll try to deploy. So we'll basically say new website. Websites, virtual machine, cloud services, which is what we talked about just some time back. I'm going to create a website, do a quick create, and just name it as, say, Azure Pac-Man. Right? And that name is available, probably the first Pac-Man on Azure. And it will create pretty fast, right? So, and the Azure portal actually dismisses the icon so that notifications so that they just don't keep coming into your eyes. So now you basically have Azure Pac-Man. If you click on this site, you have several different options. One of the options which is relevant for us is this small little tip. You have this cloud icon. When you click on the cloud icon, you will get this quick start screen, right? And this actually allows you to look at a bunch of things like install WebMatrix or install Visual Studio SDK and also download published profile. So I'll basically click over here to download the published profile. And that will basically get the published profile below. If I go back to WebMatrix, our newly created site, and then just hit publish, there is an option to import the published profile. So I can basically click over here, and we can see Azure Pac-Man open, and it basically gets that. You click on validate connection. Hopefully the connection works. Running tiny bit slower than what I would have expected. But it is what it does is that it just goes and does a ping and just makes sure that it works, and then you hit save. See, then what WebMatrix allows you to do is to actually test whether your server is working properly or not. So in this situation, there is published compatibility test. So I can click yes, and it will check whether .NET Framework version is there on Azure or not, HTML page. Now, this is less relevant for Azure because Azure obviously will have all those things. We've made sure that they do. But if you're using any other server in that situation, would be something that you could try out. And then when you hit next, then it's going to start determining the changes between server and local and go ahead and start deploying. So right now, it will start publishing. And once it publishes, we'll basically see stuff coming in. But in the meantime, something which is worth noting over here, how many of you actually saw the tour of Azure websites? Like, how many actually have seen all these different features on Azure websites? Okay, so you guys know about, do you guys want me to cover any of these screens, like how to monitor, configure, scale, anything like that, anything in particular? You guys know about all that stuff, right? Okay, so going back over here, the publishing is complete, and Right now, ASP.NET is pre-compiling the site, right? So once the pre-compilation is complete, then the site will get loaded, hopefully, pretty soon, and we should probably have Pacman running on Azure. Typically, it takes like somewhere close to 15 or 20 seconds to have the entire site compiled. Plus, it has got a bunch of other packages and stuff, all of those. So there, the site is up and running, right? And there. So, but anyways, so what we can do now is that if we want the Pacman to go and start having login using, let's say, Twitter, right? Like if you want to enable login into this site and we want to take high scores and stuff like that and do authentication using Twitter, then we have an option in web pages. We basically now have an OAuth support by which you can enable OAuth very, very easily on your sites. And what we will do is that we will go ahead and try to get that set up. Before we do that, though, what I'm going to do is to move to this place on Firefox. If you go to dev.twitter.com, here I can basically create a new site, right? So I can basically new app. So I say Azure Pacman and Pacman on Azure. And then on websites, what we'll do is that we'll take this URL and paste that URL to the website. There, and the callback URL to be the login URL, right? And then just say yes, agree, and give a captcha. How many of you have created Twitter app before? No one, right? So hopefully this is new, right? So I do edit dot. If I'm typing it wrong, does this sound right? N-D-S-I-Z-O. Looks good? Okay. Boom, okay, done. So we have Azure Pacman available. Now in OAuth, what happens is that there are these two things which are important. There is consumer key and there is secret. These two items are what are used to do OAuth handshake between the party which is providing the authentication and the party who is taking the authentication. In this situation, the party which is taking the authentication is our site, right? So what we will do now is that going back again over here to Azure portal, what I'm going to do is to try to enable this on Azure Live. So even though we do not necessarily say that this is a deployment option, but it is worthwhile to consider that so far whoever has used Azure, it was pretty much locked down. It was very difficult to see what was happening inside. Now in this situation, you can actually go and hook into the site which is already running, right? And what I'm going to do for that is to close down. So this is my local site. I'm going to close the site and actually go ahead and say open remote site, right? And this you could do from any machine anywhere. And I'm going to go and say import setting, Azure Pacman. And this time we will name it like Azure Pacman Twitter, right? And click OK. Now keeping fingers crossed, what WebMatrix would allow me to do is to actually open the site that is on the server locally over here, right? So let us just hope. And there, so the site is up and running, right? What we need to do to enable Twitter, this is how simple it is actually. In appstart.cshtml, again opening remotely, this is the Twitter section. I just uncomment it. Go back to Firefox and copy the consumer key. Come back, paste over here. Take the secret. Paste it back over here. Save the file. So now, appstart.cshtml, essentially, are the files which are run when your site starts for the first time. So it basically registers with Twitter at that point of time. So that's what we basically did. We basically said we have an OAuth client. We are registering it with that secret and consumer key. Next, what we want to do is to go and enable it in the UI. So actually, if I go to the account and then go login.cshtml, and here at the bottom, you'll notice that there is a section which is commented out, and there was that message which was shown in the screen. That is right over here. So what we are going to do is to do control K U, which is going to uncomment, and then I'm going to comment this portion out, right? There. And now, if I actually hit run over here, it is going to run my Azure site directly, right? So it's running live on Azure right now. Again, appstart.cshtml was changed, which means that there's going to be a reset in compilation, right? So there, and if I hit login, now I have this Twitter button. Clicking on Twitter is now, this is where the OAuth libraries implemented behind the scenes are actually going to work, if they do work. And you basically see that it goes to Twitter. This is on twitter.com, right? And I'm going to enter my Twitter password, sign in. And now it is redirecting back to my site, which is a pretty standard flow that you basically see. But if I associate, there I have signed in with Twitter, and I have a working site Pacman, right? So very quickly said, like, this is how easy it would be to go ahead and work with Azure. It's almost like, you know, it's right next door that you can basically go and edit whatever you want to. And this all is, you would imagine that, you know, why would you actually make changes to the server and why not locally? Well, you can make it remotely in certain situations if you require to, but if not, then after that you can hit this download button and it will actually bring back the changes from remote to local so that you can basically have your site locally as well as remotely. So you can open remote as well as local at the same time and keep working back and forth. So essentially that is kind of like the quick summary of using web deploy and FTP. And if you basically look at this settings that we downloaded, if I move to FTP, it's the same setting that is available. So when I imported the profile contains both FTP as well as web deploy information. I can take any one of those. So I have that done, and within no time, what we first did was to use FTP and web deploy. So switching back again to slides, we basically did that, and we did remote editing using web deploy. And then finally, something which is worth noting as takeaway is that you get 10 Azure websites for free, plus a SQL database, plus a MySQL database. So if you want to use this, you can actually try it right now. If you go to webmatrix.com, you click on download button, that installs. Go to windowsazure.com, sign up. You basically get 10 websites. What I just did, you can do right after walking out from here, right? Then other than that, the key points being that web deploy can be used to deploy not only just files, but also databases. How many of you actually know about web deploy over here? Yeah, so actually, if you've used the Visual Studio version, I think it's worthwhile to note web deploy was a new technology that we introduced again a couple of years back, I think in conjunction around with VS10. And it is actually superior to FTP for following reasons, right? It means many people use FTP, it's universal, but FTP does not allow things to happen on the server, right? All it really does is pushes the file, creates the folder, deletes the folder, and stuff like that, pretty minimalistic stuff. But when we started working on web deploy, the problem that we were trying to solve is that you have a bunch of artifacts to deploy on the server along with files, right? You might have to do ACLs, you might have to do databases. Sometimes for complex enterprise scenarios, you might have to do COM objects, and you might have to do registries, and you might have to do, like, you know, you name it, whatever else. You might have to run some command files. So that is what web deploy was designed for. So it's a client-server kind of thing. And you basically can do whatever you want to on the server side as long as the server admin permits you. So the other thing is also that server admin can lock down the entire environment the way they want to. So that is what was our first demo. After that, we'll move on to the second demo, which is VS. How many of you use Visual Studio? Okay, so essentially everyone, right? Hopefully this would be something. The previous one was new, was interesting. But we are going to look at what matters now, right? What matters to us on a daily basis. So I have this Visual Studio site. And I'm going to run the site to just give you a context of how it looks like. Wait. There. So I have a Visual Studio site. I'm going to run it and just show you what it looks like locally. This was created by a friend called Syed, and the site is just a simple picture upload kind of a site. and it allows you to like add images, and there is this standard image which is over here, right? I'm going to show you how the site actually looks like from code standpoint so that we are on the same page on what we are trying to deploy to Azure, right? First thing is that this site uses EF Code First. How many of you actually know about EF Code First? Okay, one person, right? How many of you know in theory what EF Code First is? Okay, so EF Code First is in a way new to a bunch of people, right? So I'll probably give you a very quick synopsis of what EF Code First is. EF Code First actually, like when we talk about database deployment, we think about what are the different ways by which you want to express your database. You could express your database by first designing the database itself, which is our traditional way. You design your RDBMS structure. You could perhaps create a stored proc on top of it, and then you call your stored procs. That's one approach. The other option is when ORM layers started coming in, people started doing things like Nhibernate or Entity Framework, which creates an object relational mapper layer on top of your database, and then you start talking to that, right? And that was, in a way, transition from database-first methodology to model-first methodology, where you are defining the model before defining anything else. And then the third state in which we came across was code-first methodology, in which what we basically said is that, oh, who cares about trying to go ahead and define the models, just go ahead and start defining your objects the way you want to use them. So you can basically create a category object, and then you can create a product object, and then you can put category object inside product object, and there is a relationship right there, right? So just purely expression of your model in code is what EF Code First is, and this particular site uses EF Code First. So let us notice over here that there is this simple class called public image, right? Pretty standard. It has got index and image URL. The other interesting thing which actually is there is that there's this new class which called SQL image context, and it inherits from DB context. This DB context is an entity framework code first construct. And what it does is that it has got DB set, and it again takes our images class, right? Then I have got SQL image repo, which is a standard class which I wrote to actually commit to add files inside the database. So this is just completely custom implementation. It takes the image. This is the context, which is the SQL image context, and it basically saves the files inside it, right? So far clear? Right? Okay. So then there is, to enable EF Code First, how many of you actually use NuGet Package Manager? Okay, a couple of you guys do. So this is probably new to a bunch of you. NuGet Package Manager allows you to install a bunch of packages from NuGet Gallery. I'll actually show you NuGet Gallery for the benefit of it. If you basically go to nuget.org, this is the gallery, and if you basically look at the packages, then there are a bunch of these packages which are available which you can install. And there is a PowerShell console inside Visual Studio which allows you to install all these packages. So what I actually did was that I basically did something like this, install package entity framework dash pre, and that essentially installed pre-release version of entity framework. After that, the next command that was followed was enable migrations. And that basically installs the migrations. It actually creates this config file. So if you go into migrations, and then there is this configuration.cs file, it creates this, and it allows you to create a seed method which will allow you to put data inside your EF Code First. So EF Code First, as you can imagine, is just definition of your schema, right? It's not really definition of your data. So if you really want to put lookup tables, like for instance a bunch of states in United States or probably a bunch of countries, then this is the place where you would actually add those things so that when you deploy, then the migrations would run and this would just go ahead and apply the seed data into your database. So that was the next step, to go ahead and say enable migrations. And then what happens is that you basically say add migration and then name a migration, like initial migration, single word, like that, right? When I did that, then I basically got this, which is the initial migration. And notice what it actually does. It has got two methods, up and down, right? Now, what actually happens is that when you are trying to deploy, moving forward your database, then the up methods are executed. So if you basically have 10 migrations, every migration, you basically add a table or add a column or add a key. The up methods will keep executing and your database will keep building up. If you want to downgrade, then the down methods execute and your database goes down, right? Does that make sense? Like, that's just one of the trending ways by which many people deploy their databases. So this is that, like, initial migration has been created. And now if I want to basically take this site and deploy it to Azure, again, it would be pretty similar to going ahead and doing that with WebMatrix. Apart from that, what I also did was that I went to tfspreview.com. So let me actually go and show that to you as well, because that's very interesting as well. If I go to tfspreview.com, this is the place where you can actually get access to online TFS. How many of you heard a session about online TFS in any way? Right? So 4 or 5 of you. So there, you go over there, you can get started for free, you click create an account, and I actually do have an account existing. So that's my account, and I created Image Viewer as a project inside that. And then I took my sources and I basically checked into that TFS, right? Pretty simple step. Everyone is following, right? Okay. So far all these steps are done. Now I'm going to go ahead and try to download the published profile for this site. So we're basically going to create a new site, Image Viewer. So let's say new website. And this time we will create it with database. Last time we just created empty because it was a SQL compact database in case of WebMatrix. Now this is a full SQL Server database. So I'm going to say create with database, and I'll basically call it as Azure Image Viewer, right? And we will say use a new SQL database. That allows us to add one more step here. And now I can basically say, okay, new SQL Server database. Actually, I don't even really need to do that, but I can say new SQL Server database, hit next, and give a login name. So I'll basically do Vishal, and that is how dramatically it is simple to go ahead and create a site with database on Azure, right? So it's right now creating the site. Hopefully it will get created pretty soon. You will have one database for free already, so you can again do this same exercise. The site which we are using right now, we will make it available on GitHub, so you can basically take that site and repeat this entire exercise for yourself. So I go down to the Image Viewer, and in this situation, just say, again, download publishing profile. So if you want, I can click on this thing. It's easy to just basically get the publishing profile from here. There, and then just click on download publish profile. And now we have Azure Image Viewer profile downloaded. In Visual Studio 2012, as well as in Visual Studio 2010, we added this special integration with Azure. So if I actually go ahead and right click on this thing and just say publish, I can now import a published profile. So I can basically say import Azure Image Viewer and open that, and then again the same validate connection so that it will basically make sure that the connections are running. Go ahead next. This time what I want to do is to actually use a SQL Server database from Azure. So here I'm going to actually see a bunch of these things, and since this is the Azure image database which we created, the last one, and then just say apply EF code first migrations on run, right? And do next. This time I can also see a preview of what is exactly going to happen on Azure when I deploy it, right? So I'm going to click Start Preview. And it's going to basically go and try to figure out the diffs. Since the site is new, obviously there are going to be a bunch of diffs. There's going to be a bunch of files which are going to go down, right? And once this actually does deploy, once it actually creates the differences, then after that just hitting publish is a matter of like going and starting to deploy. And this is again using web deploy inside Visual Studio. You guys have used web deploy in Visual Studio, right? What just happened? Did it just deploy that fast? I'm actually blown away. You know, because when I was back in my hotel, this was so slow in Hilton, Orlando, that it was just unbelievable. I was thinking that it was probably Well, there it is. It is in Azure. So for those of you who are deploying to Azure today, you know how much time does it take to deploy a site to Azure as opposed to right now, that you can basically have this thing up and running within no time. So I can actually like upload images, and there is something interesting to note over here as to when I start uploading images, I have this special image for you guys so that you can wake up instead of sleeping in case anyone is sleeping. And I can go ahead and see that. So there, this is Creative Commons. I didn't actually steal the image, but that's someone's representation of how, and the guy with the hands up is what I am probably. And I guess the brave ones are all you guys. But anyway, so we have the site, the image got uploaded, and when the image actually did get uploaded, what is interesting to note is that I actually did not save the image anywhere inside the database. The image is just getting saved into physical file location, and the URL is saved inside the database. This is interesting because when you are deploying to Azure websites, you have a persistent storage behind the scenes. There is a common location where all your files go, and when you spin up more web workers, web servers, then those web servers basically go and speak to the same location. So all these images are getting uploaded to that common location. Now, what you at the same time see is that there is this to-do, right, which is located over here, which we should ideally replace with something else, right? So we will try to go ahead and fix that bug. But in the meantime, let me go back over here in VS. One thing to note is that we basically injected the publish profiles. Those two publish profiles are visible over here. Do I need to zoom in, or you guys can all see? You can all see? Okay. So these published profiles are now available. What VS did was that it actually converted that single published profile into two published profiles because it had FTP and web deploy as individual profiles. They are available right now over here. And what I can really do is to go ahead and check in this published profile into source code control. So I can go ahead, right click, and just say check in. And that will go ahead and show that, okay, there are these two files which are added. And so I'm basically going to say, adding published profile, right? So this is checking in published profiles. Now, as you remember, we saw that to-do on that image, right? And we wanted to replace it with something more meaningful. Let's say created date time or something like that. And let us also say that we want to do that using continuous integration with TFS. How many of you actually have seen continuous integration with TFS and Azure? Okay. So we'll probably show a little bit of that. So this might be a tiny bit of repeat for you, so please do bear with me. But what I'm going to do is to go back to Azure portal, and the same site, Azure Image Viewer, I'm going to go ahead and click Setup TFS Publishing. And since I have the account, I'm going to say that, authorize now. And then this is again an OAuth implementation. It's going to TFS from Azure, right? And then it is retrieving my projects. This time, hopefully, the image viewer comes down. So image viewer came up, and I click OK. And now you notice that what is happening is that there is a handshake between Azure and TFS happening right now, which is actually linking both of those projects together. Now, apart from this linking, what additional things happen behind the scenes, which are worth noting, is that it creates a build definition in TFS. How many guys are aware of build definition? Right, few people. So build definition is basically the file which drives the builds inside TFS. So when you check and try to do a build, then that's what build definition does. Once this thing is created, you can actually check in how you want to do it from VS 2010. You can actually go ahead and see the same instructions for also VS 2010 as well as 2012. So whichever one you want to use is up to you. There's also a Visual Studio button over here, which is interesting. What you can do is that you can just click this button and it will actually launch Visual Studio. And it will tell you blah, blah, blah. You have to, like, you know, if you have VS 2012, it works. In VS 2010, it does not. And I click OK. Then it's going to launch Visual Studio and hook me up to my project exactly. Now, this is not really relevant right now because I have the project open. But you can imagine that anytime you want, you can actually go to Azure portal, click the Visual Studio button, and boom, your project will be open. And I can go to the Source Code Control Explorer. There are no pending changes. I can go to the source code control explorer, and you can basically see that I have that particular site up and running. I could click the solution explorer, and my site would be available to me. Since we have that open, I'm going to close this one and then go back to the existing one. Now, since we have that all created, let us go back and look at the Team Explorer home and then just basically click on builds, right? What you will notice is that we basically have, now it is going to TFS online and trying to retrieve whether there is a build definition or not. So there is Azure Image Viewer CD, which is for continuous delivery, and I edit this build definition. Then I'll talk about some interesting things inside the build definition. So you can obviously determine whether you want to trigger your deployments on a manual basis or continuous integration basis or rolling basis, however way you want to structure, you can pick one of those options. The more interesting pieces are around process. This is going to take a moment and load. But the process actually will determine what all things are going to happen when actually you check in and the flow begins. Like for instance, here is the place where you will actually say, I want to run automated test cases when my build happens, right? So I can actually go over here and say any DLLs which are starting with test.dll, and if there is a failure, if there is a failure in test case, then I want a failure in build as well. So that's where I'm setting this thing over here. And then the next thing that I would go ahead and do is take a look at this, which is deployment settings name. Notice it says Azure Image Viewer. This is the same site name which we created in Azure. So that got picked up. That's the environment name. There's one other interesting item. If you are doing cloud services, this thing works with cloud services exactly the same way. And you basically notice this Azure Cloud Services in section number 5, which actually can you can have more triggers because cloud services has more options. So you can actually control a few more things that you want to control while doing your continuous delivery. And then the final thing which is interesting is web deploy publish profile. Now you notice that we basically got that publish profile created, and in publish profile I had gone and said enable EF migrations, remember? And like we basically picked the connection string and whatnot. So we want that publish profile to be used when the deployment happens. So I'm going to go down over here and click on this. It actually takes time because it's going to enumerate my source code control on the server. So I go down over here and go to properties, publish profile, web deploy, and click OK. Right? So now I have my team build definition configured to go ahead and do CI deployments. I'm going to save that. But what is interesting is that we still need to make changes to the code to actually make this thing entire work, right? So what I'm going to do is to go to this image.cs, which I explained earlier, and I had this purposely commented out code, which is just adding create date time. For simplicity, we are just going to take create date time, and instead of to do, we are going to show create date time in that image. Sounds fair? Okay. And then I'm going to go down to this repo.cs. Here again, where I'm adding the image, along with adding the image, I'm also going to set the create date time, which is cool as well. And then what happened is that I have made changes to my save procedure, and I have made changes to the image, but my migrations and my database still do not have the created date column, right? So I need to add the created date column to my database. How do I go about doing that? So I basically go to Package Manager, and instead of initial migration, I'm going to go ahead and say created date added, right? I create that migration and hit OK. So at this point of time, it is going to hopefully go ahead and create a new migration for me, and you will basically soon see a new file getting added. So you'll see it is scaffolding migration, and the file got added. And see, simple stuff, but like up now has the column got added, and down is dropping the column, right? So far it makes sense, right? Okay, so those things just got done, which was easy. Now for my local environment, for it to run, this has not updated my database, right? It's just updated the classes. So to update the database, I'm going to basically say something like update database and hit enter. At this point of time, the database is actually getting updated, which means that the local database, the EF code first is running migrations on top of my existing database. So see, it determined that the last thing that it had was initial migration, and created date is a new migration which needs to be run. So it ran the new migration. It also is running the seed method. Remember seed method inside the migrations folder, right? Inside this configuration.cs. This method also, but I did not have any seed data. So it basically just still ran, did nothing. Now I have all these things set up, right? In addition to that, now I go to the image, and I'll basically see this to do, and I need to replace that with the created date, right? So I'll basically say something like @model. And notice how Razor is actually transitioning between HTML into C#, right? So now this is C# code. I'm doing model.mainImage.createdDate.toString, right? So simple stuff like that. I made all these changes, and again, I can go back to my Team Explorer, and I can basically say home, and just basically say, okay, now I want to find out what are the pending changes which are in here. Again, standard stuff which I would have expected. I made all these changes, and then I'll basically say added created date, right? And I just basically hit check in. So at this point of time, these all changes which we have made are getting checked in, right? And what should ideally happen, so this got checked in successfully, and if I basically go to builds, then at that point of time, the build should get kicked off, right? So you'll basically see that a build is getting kicked off right now. And right now, the position of the build, it is in queue, so it's going to get picked up by TFS Elastic Build Servers. So TFS has got a bunch of servers. As soon as it basically finds a new item, it basically allocates to one of the build servers, and the build starts happening. So that is what is happening over here. While that thing, so now the build got picked up, right? In the meantime, what we'll basically do is to go down over here, wait out on Azure portal to see whether the build actually triggers anything on my deployments in TFS deployments tab, right? So that is what my hope is to wait on. So build request, let's just click on one of these things and see what is the progress on it. So right now it is running. In the meantime, how many of you actually noticed something which I really did wrong? So this is the time to check whether you're sleeping or not. What is it that I did wrong? No one can guess. What I did wrong was that I didn't even test locally before committing. And I bet that if someone did that, that many people would blame them. So what we will do is that we will still, while we are waiting, we will still go ahead and like run it locally. Hopefully still everything works. There we have the photo viewer. I'm going to add an image. And see, I've got an interesting image for you. There. But now the date has come, right? So that thing has happened. In the meantime, let us basically check out what is happening on Azure portal. So Azure portal just suddenly woke up, right? And it basically says, oh, I am deploying, which is funny because right now what also happened is that there was a run for Visual Studio test sources and a bunch of testing is already happening. I can actually click the log over here and see live on TFS portal as to what is really happening. On TFS portal, things are moving right now. It's in progress and you can basically notice that get impacted tests. It's picking on a bunch of tests. I didn't actually show you earlier, but in my source code, there are also unit tests which are running. So there are a bunch of tests which are also running. So you can actually see a full-on deployment happening along with tests. And you can actually do more additional steps that you wanted to do from customization standpoint, right? So going back to Azure portal again, there, this build got succeeded. Going back over here, it basically says, oh, it succeeded and deployed. And now if I basically browse, now this is a moment of truth. Now think about it that you actually did a database upgrade on Azure, on SQL Azure, just now by just making changes locally and then pushing it out, right? This is expected because I kind of did not have my seed data or like did not pull in my data. So this image doesn't exist anymore because the database just got cleared out from data standpoint. But I'm going to add a new file, and there is a date. And that's actually a conversation with my wife, which you can read. Right? But anyway, so that is overall, I think, the story. By the way, I do not use iPhone. I have Windows Phone. This is an iPhone conversation. But what is actually nice is that there is a site. Someone created a very smart site in which they basically said, oh, if you wanted to have conversations on iPhone and create an image out of it, for these purposes, then I think it is iphonetextchat.com or something like that. And you can punch in conversations from whoever you want to and just create fun images out of it. So that's what I did. But overall, what we just did, switching back to this thing, was that we also did CI using TFS. Right? And so the takeaway, VS already supports FTP, FTPS, web deploy. Incremental schema deployments with EF code first is really, really easy. You can do Azure, and TFS Online has really good integration. Means you saw this exactly applies even when you do cloud services if you want to. So that's pretty good as well. And TFS Online CI to Azure can actually run unit tests and whole nine yards, right? And again, running EF code first migrations, even from TFS, is easy. TFS is actually using web deploy behind the scenes. And by the way, I did not actually mention, but I can go down over here to the TFS portal. And if I click on builds, then you will be able to see all different builds, including the ones which were successfully deployed. Thank you for pointing that out. I clicked on this view log, and then over here in builds in TFS portal, I can see the list of builds which are queued or completed or deployed, and you can actually pick any one of them and hit a redeploy, right? And if I actually do more builds, if I do more check-ins, Azure portal will start showing me a bunch of deployments as well, which I can then start redeploying as well. There will be a button for redeploy, which you will see in Git. It's pretty consistent, but since we are going to move to Git, I would basically wait out and show those pieces over there. So overall, that was TFS and VS stuff. How do you guys like it so far? Good? Yes.
So on that redeploy, so if somebody pushed something out incorrectly, you know, and you can go back to like a previous.
Yes.
Is it redeploy that one that we
know? Yes, totally. So in fact, what we will do is that since you asked that question, this is completely unscripted, uncharted territory, so I'm going to still try it out though. Let's see if it actually works. We can basically try doing that on the fly. So let us go to views, and we were on index.cshtml, right? Right over here. And if I basically say, okay, index.cshtml, I no more care about the create date time over here in the title, right? And let us basically say default, we want to just basically say awesome image. So I'm going to save that, and let us go and see if I can actually check in. Yes, so it will actually like stop the deployments if your data is going to get overridden. If you're going to have a data loss, then it's going to like basically not deploy. You will have to explicitly say that I'm okay with the data loss. So we made this, and I'm going to basically say, okay, one more change, right? And I'm going to check in. And then it's going to go and start deploying. And the deployment will happen, and this thing will wake up, and all those good things will happen. So we'll wait out. After that, we'll basically go back to this particular slide again. But in the meantime, now what I want to do is to actually move on to Git deployment in Azure. And how many of you are actually interested in seeing the details and guts behind the Git deployment stuff? Okay, a couple of you guys. Other guys, you're not super interested about Git? Because I really do not want to take too much of your time in case you are not interested in certain aspects. But whoever is interested, I'll certainly go down. No, you do not necessarily have to. This is for people who are using Git and want to, you know, in Azure, we started supporting things like Node.js. We started supporting things like PHP. People are using Max. So those people who are using Max in Node.js and stuff like that, they do not have any other way to deploy, and they need some way to deploy, and hence we supported Git. And it was actually very, very well received. How many of you have actually heard of Node.js? Okay, one or two. So Node.js is like this upcoming event-driven technology which will allow you to use JavaScript on the server side to code in case you like doing that. And WebMetrics actually allows you to do Node.js development as well. That was something which was something which people liked a lot. And what I'll do is that I'll try to like create a canonical scenario. I'll basically take a new Node.js application from WebMetrics and deploy it using Git to Azure, right? So let me actually start off over here, close on this side. This is at least, if not, you can basically go ahead and talk about how you would go and use Node.js. Or if you wanted to play around anytime, this would be a good opportunity to go and see. So again, go back to templates. Unfortunately, something is wrong with the thing, the way it works. But right now, I can pick up a Node starter site, and I'll just basically say Vishal Node Azure and click Next. This is literally what you would have to do. So for the Git demo that I'm going to do, the pieces which I already have installed on this machine is WebMetrics. I've got Git command line, and I've got Azure command line. So all of these three things are available on WindowsAzure.com. So if you basically go to WindowsAzure.com, you should be able to get all of these three things. And once you hit Node.js template, it will install Node.js for you. And many people do not realize, but like installing this entire stuff manually, this entire stack, like if you were to start with PHP and Apache, just imagine how much time it takes to like get started, right? So this is a completely parallel stack, and you just click that one button, you install, and it is up and running. So I'll just show you what the site looks like, but just for curiosity. But this is, again, similar to the ASP.NET site, except that the specialty over here is that it has got chat, right? And the chat uses a popular Node module called Socket.io, and WebMetrics also supports using something like an iPhone simulator. So if you want to use iPhone simulator and do chat with, like, go down over here and click on chat. So this is the kind of stuff that, so I'd basically do that. Check out over there, right? Hi there. Hello. And stuff like that. So that is like, Socket.io is, again, a more of like SignalR kind of a technology. How many of you heard of SignalR? Few of you. So that's another technology which actually is using long polling, or eventually is going to use WebSocket, and eventually is like some way by which it can just do JavaScript poll on the server side without reloading the page and stuff like that. So this is a simple little site which we just created, right? And what I'll do is that I'll go ahead and try to publish this to Azure using Git this time. So what we do is that we basically go down to command prompt, and this time, this is crazy Git stuff, so let's go to WebMetrics, open this folder, and this, you saw that I just created this site, right? I just created it right this moment, so I can go back over here and say cd and paste the path. So now I'm on the command prompt. If you want to use Git and if you want to enable Git, the one advantage of Git is that it is a distributed version control system, which means that you basically have a version control locally and version control remotely and version control in several different places. In case of Azure, what we do is that we have a version control hosted inside Azure. So when you push files, it's actually incrementally having sources saved in Azure. You can have version control locally, and then some people use things like GitHub or Bitbucket or something like that to host there, which is kind of analogous to what our TFS scenario is, right? Like TFS is the centralized version control. So to get started, I take this site, which we just created, and I'm going to say Git init, right? And this is basically going to initialize a repository over here on this particular location. Then the next command that I use is Git add dot. And what that does is that it's going to add, stage all the changes which are there inside this repository, inside this folder, and try to stage it inside the repository. So you'll notice that it basically says, okay, I'm going to look at all the changes. And then what I'll do is that I'll just basically make my first commit. So I'll basically just git commit dash m for message, and I just basically say initial commit. Again, do note that the intent of this presentation is that if you wanted to go and do this, you should be able to do it. There is no prior knowledge required, right? You just basically do initial commit, and boom, bunch of files got committed, right? Now, let us go back. What I'm going to do next is to actually try to push this into Azure, right? So for that, I'm going to use Azure command line. Now, consider many of these people just use command line. They love command line. So there is Azure portal has equivalent command line, like we were talking about PowerShell. And this is a bash scenario. So this is the bash command line. So if I do Azure help, you'll notice that the command line will, surprisingly, it is hung up for some reason. OK, we'll basically, I'll show you something else in parallel while that thing recovers from itself. So in Chrome, oh, there, this thing is deployed, I think. Well, let me first create the site which I'm trying to create. So I basically go to website, and I can basically do a quick create, and I can basically say Azure node site. And do that. Again, it is going to quickly create a site. And to enable Git inside Azure, what you would basically do is to go into the site like that and set up Git publishing, right? Just hit that button. And similar to the TFS experience, it is now setting up my Git repository, similar to what we did, right? We did over there on the local environment, we did an init, add, and then we did basically commit, right? So right now, what this is doing is it's initializing the repository. So it actually just ran git init on Azure. So now I have a repository, and it basically gives you pretty standard simple instructions that go to your command prompt where your app's root directory is, do init, do add, do commit. This is exactly the steps which I did. And then after that, it basically says you can just go ahead and add these two lines, which what it means is that it's adding a remote connection to Azure, which is this URL, right? So I'm going to copy these two guys, go back over here. For some reason, it is hung up. Oh, there. So the Azure command prompt actually did come up. And Azure, we will look at the Azure command prompt in a moment. But in the meantime, what I'll do is that I'll just go and type in those instructions which the portal suggested that I put, right? So I just added a remote repository. Right? So now I have a remote location for my Git site, right? And next, all I really need to do is to go ahead and hit git push Azure master. So I do git push Azure master. It is now going to go to try to connect to that location and ask me for my password, which is my credentials on the portal. So, okay, I goofed up. It's gonna probably fail, yeah. So push again. There. So right now what it is starting to do is to like figure out what all are the files which need to be pushed. And it's saying, OK, I'm updating the remote location. I'm creating a commit ID. It is also running NPM, which is equivalent to NuGet gallery for Node people. And it's basically pulling down on the fly. So Azure is actually contacting the NPM gallery and downloading the NPM packages on the fly and installing it on your site. This is very similar to what would happen in case you were to push a .NET site, and it would basically pull down your all the NuGet packages as well. So that is what is actually happening right now. At this point of time, if you go down over here, then the portal has already woken up, and it's basically saying, OK, I'm really deploying your site, right? And it will go ahead and deploy in momentarily. And then what we will try to do in the meantime is to make changes. So we can wait for this thing to complete, or I can go ahead and make changes to the site. So if I go to the files again in WebMatrix and just take views, like we use CSHTML or we use ASPX, Node people use JED. So if you look at this layout.jed, I have this location which says your logo here, and I'll basically say hi from Azure. I'll save that thing, and then I'll just basically in the meantime see that, oh, this site is up and running, right? So I browse that, and the Node site is right now up and running, and then there. So the chat application got deployed via Git. Coming back over here, since I made change again, I can basically do git commit dash am, which is like add all the stuff and a message. And I can basically give a message something like changed the logo text, right? And then it says, okay, one file changed, right? And then I can just basically go and do, again, git push Azure master, right? Do that. And it's going to go ahead and ask for the password again. So there, it looks at the delta, and it's just pushing the delta, which are changed, back on the remote location. And it's basically saying NPM, but I do not really require NPM anymore because, see there, it actually already deployed the other one, and the changes are live. And you can basically see change the logo text, right? If I run the site, then hopefully you will see hi from Azure, right? So that quickly it got changed. It is also interesting, this is very similar how it would work in TFS, is that you can click on this guy and you can basically say, oh, I do not really want to change this, I want to just redeploy. And when you do redeploy, it will ask, do you really want to redeploy? And then you say yes. And then at that point of time, the second deployment kicks in and it starts deploying again. And then when I browse back, then the site must have gone back to the previous location, right? Your logo here. So that's how simply it flips flops. But in addition, what is interesting is that I can actually do the same thing, all of those things, via command prompt. And this has nothing to do with Node.js. Even if it was an ASP.NET site using Git, it would do all of those things would be the same, right? So I would basically do something like this. Azure. Now, I'm going to show you the commands which you will have to use to set this thing up, because right now you do not have Azure command line set up, right? Because the command line needs to talk to your portal in a remote location, right? So that's why what you actually do first is that you do Azure account, and then you do download. When you do Azure account download, what it does is that it goes to Azure, and it actually makes you sign in using LiveID. When you punch in your LiveID, it takes the certificates, because that is what is used to connect with the APIs on Azure. It takes the certificates, brings them down, puts them on your certificate store. It just doesn't do that. It basically saves the certificate file locally, which is the published profile. Then you basically do Azure account import. And then you give the file location. So you would basically say C/whatever it is. And then it would basically go and import that account. After that point in time, your Azure command prompt is set up. So you can do very interesting things with Azure command prompt. Like, for instance, Azure site list. If I do that, then it will go ahead and start. Like, I have my thing hooked up. So it's basically enumerating my locations. It's enumerating my sites. And it's saying, there, these are all the sites which I have, right? I can basically do something similar to, I think, the Azure node site. This was Azure node site, right? Yeah, Azure node site. So I can basically say Azure site show and Azure node site and click that. And then it's basically showing me all the information which is related to my site, right? Within no time, it basically says, okay, blah, 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 things are enabled. The repository name is this and the repository URL is this and whatnot. So it basically gives all of those things. What is actually even nice is that Azure site deployment list, right? If I do that, and it's asking me for the site name, Azure node site, and then it's just enumerating my deployments, right? So those are the two deployments which I had. It enumerated them out. I can actually go ahead and do something similar to Azure site deployment, and then just do redeploy, right? And in that situation, you see that this is active, and this is not active, so I'm going to go pull that one, copy, and then try to paste it over here, and then hit enter. And if we basically go back, again over here, hopefully, website name again, I forgot, so Azure Node Site. And redeploy yes or no, something very similar to the portal, and then it will hopefully pick up on the portal, right? So even from command prompt, you can go ahead and do all this deployment stuff, and if I browse back again, it should go back to the newer version where we basically said hi from Azure, right? Theoretically, that's where it should be. So that is how Git deployments would work. What is more interesting to note is that if you were to use Git, then there are more interesting things to remember and note about. You can actually take this URL and paste it on, let us say, over here on our photo viewer. Paste that URL. Remove this last portion. Now, these are some tips and tricks which are not very commonly known but are useful. And it will basically ask me for my credentials and say, this is my same credentials as what I used for Git deployment, right? And now you will see that I'm actually, Git is a site which is actually running parallel to my site using the same app pool of my site, which is a very interesting concept if you think about it, that it is a site which is running, it listens to Git commands, it processes Git commands, and this is just a face of that site which actually tells you that, you know, if you want to know which version of the Git server are you running, it gives you that information. This is the diagnostics dump, which it also gives you. Right? So that is another nice part, that if you actually want to find out more information about all the Git things which are happening, you click on that particular thing and you get a dump of all the logs which are existing, all the trace files which are existing, which actually even Microsoft support does not have, because this is running under your credentials, right? So they do not have access to this stuff. This is only you who has access to it. So what might happen is that if you start using Git, they might ask you, can you please download the logs and give it to us? This is a place where you would actually get the logs and give back to them. So there is a lot more interesting stuff. In interest of time, what I'm going to do is to actually just show you one quick thing, and then we'll basically end. The entire Git project is open source. So you can actually go to this particular URL, github.com/projectkudu/kudu, where you can actually find out all tons of information about it. If you basically go to Wiki, you basically can look at a bunch of information over here, how to deploy other things, what are the features, and whatnot. So you can actually also go ahead and customize Git deployments for your own self. You can actually make changes to this project, push it, and we will take contributions as well. So it's a pretty open source. It is for open source, so hence it is developed that way. But with that, I think that we're probably at the end of our time, and I hope you saw several different deployment options, right? Git, TFS, VS, WebDeploy, FTP, WebMatrix, you name it. And hopefully you liked it, and hopefully this was a special small little session for you guys, and we'll probably do a repeat. Hope you go ahead and fill out the evals. We'll really, really do appreciate that. We have very few people, so everything is in your hands.